running for the special election in 23B. That's Tony Cornish's old seat. Welcome to the show. The DFL endorsed candidate, Melissa Wagner, is joining us, running for state representative. Melissa, thank you very much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I'm excited to be able to talk with you.
Hey, well, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Why don't you give a little background for everyone out there? Who is Melissa Wagner?
Well, I am a school social worker, and so I have worked down in southern Minnesota in education for the last 24 years. And so I've served in a variety of capacities, working directly with kids and training adults in how to work with kids and families. And I live on my family farm outside Lake Crystal in Butternut Valley Township. And we've raised three children, Joe and I have, and they all continue to live and work in Minnesota, although, you know, they've all, you know, felt the call of the big city, and so they are up in Minneapolis and St. Paul right now.
Butternut Valley. I know where Butternut Valley is. A lovely area. Absolutely fantastic farm country down there.
Yep, it is. It's our little piece of heaven, and so we don't tell too many people about it because we're afraid they'll keep coming.
Well, and I know it. You know, we actually did a show about it because I said, is there anything that sounds more pleasant than Butternut Valley? I don't think so. What school district have you been working for down there?
Okay, I actually work for the Minnesota Valley Education Co-op, and so we serve seven schools all surrounding Mankato. And so it's Le Sueur Henderson and Cleveland and Nicollet, and then we go into Blue Earth County to Lake Crystal Welcome Memorial and St. Clair and Maple River. Who'd I forget? Did I get everybody?
You got a lot to work with
out
there.
Well, yeah, yep, and... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, in your experience with the education here, I mean, obviously, it's something that, I mean, I think that is so important when we're looking for representation, is not just people that sit there and scream about teacher bad, teacher bad, teacher bad. It's people that are in the education system that can see the ins and outs, see the ups and downs, see what's not working, see what they do need to fix in St. Paul, and not just label things generically, which I don't think has helped our education system at all.
No, it hasn't. You know, and I think that's one of the big motivators for me is, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm working as a part of a larger system. You know, I mean, I'm in all seven of those districts on an ongoing basis. St. Peter, that's who I forgot. That's the biggest district. I'm sitting in St. Peter as we speak, and I can't remember where I am. But that was one of my big motivators is, you know, in the years that I've worked in schools, you know, we've slowly seen funding eroded. And, you know, they pick away and pick away at things. And, you know, it's really kind of hit critical mass, you know, especially in regards to the mental health of our kids. You know, they're tested so heavily, they're under so much stress. You know, we've cut away FIED, we've cut down recess time so that, you know, they have more time to increase their test scores. And, you know, and kids are more stressed as a result of that and, you know, just life in general. And then we've also cut back on the services, you know, that can help support them. You know, one of the schools when I started, there were three counselors and three social workers that served the building. And that's been cut, you know, in half, you know, so that in the last 6 or 8 years, they've been down to two counselors and one social worker. And so there are things that are not happening. And I think as a result, you know, our kids are really suffering. And it needs to change.
Well, and it's interesting. I got into a conversation with a Republican from one of the southern Minnesota districts, and he was all upset about the schools, and he said, we need to get rid of these licensing requirements. And I said, why? I said, well, because we can't get teachers. I said, well, when was the last time you praised a teacher? I mean, isn't your entire narrative how teachers are costing too much and, you know, tenure is bad and, you know, teachers expect too much and they get all summer off and they don't get really work and they're all these things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be too eager to go into a community and work if I'm constantly being vilified as the problem with education, when the problem with education, I think, is especially in outstate Minnesota, is the lack of a coherent funding operation coming out of St. Paul for the rural schools so that they're not taxed as hard as they are when it comes to the offering the special services.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, I mean, the amount of stress and work that is placed on these teachers is just extraordinary. And again, like you said, they're always the reason when things aren't going right. Mm-hmm. And so we need to start respecting the people that have, you know, given their lives to educate our, you know, our future, and start appreciating them both financially, but I think also, you know, recognizing how important they are, you know. And when you look at other countries that their education is going better, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the parents and the community see them as critical, you know, critical people, and they are very appreciative and respectful of them. And we've really lost that.
Exactly. I mean, and for one of the things I think that happens in the Twin Cities, we don't realize there really is a big financial problem with how we fund outstate schools that we need to address. The problem is, when we have people like Tony Cornish going into the Minnesota House, he's not really looking to fix the problem. He just wants to find villains so he can push his agenda. What we really need is people that are going to be going there that bring in that bird's eye view, like yourself, Melissa, who can go in there and change the system to where you're not punishing metro area schools. I mean, they can thrive as they've always have, but we have a better funding system to where the teachers, the students, and the overall district is better served in rural Minnesota.
Right, right. You know, and that, and part of, you know, I think a good visual of the problem is, you know, I mean, it costs the same to build a school to house 500 kids in outstate Minnesota as it does in the metro. But when you have a tax base of, you know, yep, 3 million people, you know, it's nothing to spread that cost of that building out among those people. But when your tax base is only like, oh, maybe 20,000 people, you know, that's a huge burden to pay for that same facility that's necessary to educate the kids in the area.
You did get the Education Minnesota endorsement as well. I should mention that, correct?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Nice.
Yes, I did. I was very pleased to be able to, you know, represent the teachers and the educators, and I hope to do a good job for them.
Joining us once again right now, Melissa Wagner. She is running for the special election for 23B. This is Tony Cornish's seat. Joining us from beautiful Butternut Valley. I still love the name of that town. That is the best name. Let's talk about some of the other issues. I mean, obviously, education's a big issue. I think you would be magnificent from just everything I've just heard you say for 23B in St. Paul on education. Let's talk about some of the other issues that are out there that are affecting 23B.
And I think one of the top ones that no one can deny is healthcare.
Yes.
You know, and it's not only, you know, the fact that we're being priced right out of the insurance market. I mean, people can't afford to buy insurance. We also, even with insurance, you know, people are struggling to be able to go to the doctor. And when I'm knocking on doors, that's the number one thing that I'm hearing is, you know, I need to go, but I can't afford my copay. I can't afford the medication. And it's harder and harder to access care in outstate Minnesota. You know, I mean, you know, we're talking in the news about how they're, you know, closing down the facilities in Albert Lea and, you know, expecting people to drive further to get care. And it is a problem, especially, you know, if you have, you know, small children and you need to bundle them up and get them to a doctor's appointment, or you're elderly and frail and you have to find a ride somewhere. And so those are huge issues that we need to take a look at in order to support, you know, the overall welfare of our families.
And I think it's so important. I mean, one of the things we're learning, and we've learned this actually from other states watching what's been going on, is that there is an onus by the state. If the federal government, say they cut back on Medicaid, Medicare, they're cutting back on health care options for you, that the state can step in and do that. And what we need in 23B is not someone that's going to shrug their shoulders and say, well, the federal government says we're not going to do anything. We need someone that's going to look and say, well, if the federal government's not going to do something, we should be doing something here in Minnesota.
Right. And we've done that in the past. I mean,
yeah,
you know, look at our Minnesota Care program was really, you know, one of the leading in the nation that happened long before Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act came into place. And so we do know how to do it well. We do know how to get people, you know, to be able to access services. And so I think we're just going to have to take a look at that as well, you know, in our region and in our state if it's not being done at the federal level.
MelissaWagner.org, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R.org is the the website. Let's talk a little bit about the race, because it's we actually discussed this yesterday on my show, the article out of Blue Stem Prairie, that the Republicans seem to have a little bit of an interesting fight going on for a primary for their who's going to replace Cornish on their side of the ticket. It sounds like there is a third-party candidate in this race as well. Overall, I mean, Tony Cornish ended up leaving the Minnesota House in fairly, in a fairly abrupt manner. Is the feeling down in the district that he was wronged, or is the feeling that there, you know, he needed to go because of the allegations of sexual misconduct?
The basic feelings are that's who he was. I mean, it didn't come as a shock or a surprise to anyone in the district. You know, it was just that it became public knowledge, you know. I don't know if they felt that he was, you know, wronged or, you know, but it's just that's the way it was. It's kind of like, oops, you know, somebody finally stood up and said enough is enough. And, so we need to move on. Mm-hmm. And it's really surprisingly a non-issue. And a lot of it has to do, I believe, with, you know, what happens when you have power. You know, it has a lot to do with just, you know, instead of representing and serving the people, he decided that he could do whatever he wanted.
Just once again, we don't get a lot out of 23B up here. How have the Republicans been addressing it down in that district? I mean, have they just kind of ignored it, trying to move past it? Because, I mean, it would seem to me, I mean, we had, I mean, it wasn't the only case. I mean, Senator Dan Schoen was a problem. Of course, Senator Al Franken had an issue. People, you know, want to discuss this and hash this out. Or is this a case where the Republican Party down in that district is just trying to sweep this under the rug and say, we're moving on, it's over?
I think they're moving on. You know, I mean, they just say that, you know, he shouldn't have done that, and you know, we'll do better next time, and you know, are trying to move forward. I think they're, you know, I mean, they've kind of moved on to other issues, and I think we're pretty supportive of him until he decided to endorse the other person that filed that didn't get the GOP endorsement, and so I think they're much more upset with him about that than the fact that he was harassing women.
Oh no, and don't get me wrong, yeah, that was. I to a point, I don't quite understand what he was thinking about when he did that. We were reading some of the editorials from Republicans tearing him down. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, I mean, Jeremy Munson is the endorsed candidate. He went out there and he's backing Scott Sanders, who's his candidate. It's a little soap opera over there, but it's adding to the drama here, because we have seen, and we just, the latest example was earlier this week, Wisconsin 10 Senate District. This is a good Republican district usually. Trump won that district by 17. The Democrat won by 11. That's a 28-point swing. And as we were doing the math yesterday, even if we just cleave off 8 of those points and just say that was a unique situation for that Wisconsin 10 race, 20 points in any Minnesota race against the Republicans puts pretty much every seat into play, including Tony Cornish's old seat here. I think that there's a pretty good chance here. The response towards the Democrat, towards your candidacy here, it sounds like it's been very positive.
It has been I overwhelmingly positive. There, people are just so excited to, you know, to be able to have a fresh start, and to, you know, to be able to voice something. And we were talking last night. I was speaking with a group of people, and we were talking about, you know, the Minnesota Nice, you know, that is alive and well here in southern Minnesota. And part of it is, once you get elected out here, you know, they never want to fire anybody because that's just not nice. And so it's like, but once the seat is open, then people are willing to take a look at, you know, who can best, you know, represent me and who's going to, you know, look out for southern Minnesota and be a strong voice. And so I think that it really almost goes beyond party lines, because, you know, our district, you know, continues to, you know, support Democrats like Wells and Senator Klobuchar, and, you know, and so we do vote Democratic at times. I think it really comes down to who they think is really what they want. And once we're there, they're going to stand behind you.
What does your campaign need most of all? Does it need donations, volunteers? What are you looking to get help with over the next few days?
Yeah. Jeremy Munson is the chair of CD1, and so he's very well connected and very well funded. And so we are continuing to, have to push back against that to get our message out. And so we're trying to have a huge blitz after the primary, which is a week from Monday, so that people don't think that I voted once and now I'm done, because, my name is on the ballot unopposed. And so sometimes people get a little bit confused as to what's going on. And they're like, hey, didn't I already vote? And it's with that 2-week turnaround, we really just need to get the message out and to get out the vote. And so, yep, anything that can help us with advertising and mailings is great. We're also doing a bunch of door knocking. And so if you want to come see beautiful Butternut Valley, we're staging out of our barn on the farm down in southern Minnesota, starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow and noon on Sunday. And you can get to see more of the countryside. We're about an hour and a half out of the metro, just outside Mankato, and on our website gives the address for that as well, if people want to get out and enjoy the beautiful sunshine and knock on some doors and meet the good people of 23B.
I will say, I want to make sure we run through the timeline here, just to make sure we have it correctly. The primary day for the special election, that is going to be on January 29th. Then 2 weeks later, which is a Monday, then 2 weeks later on another Monday, February 12th, is the special election to replace Tony Cornish in the Minnesota House. So once again, especially between the 29th and the 12th, we need to get down there and help, because I think you would even admit that this would send shockwaves beyond shockwaves through the Minnesota Republican Party, that changes in the air, that if Tony Cornish, one of the more reliable Republican seats that there has been, goes to the Democrats in Minnesota, that change is coming, and real change and real progress in rural Minnesota is going to come there with the election of Democrats to go out there and represent those districts fairly in St. Paul.
Oh, definitely. All of the interviews that have been given by any Republican are like, this is a Republican seat, we're going to easily retain this seat, there's no question about it. And, and so I think that's what's opened the door for them to argue over who should have their name on the final ballot, because they really don't think that there is any challenge from anybody that has a D in front of their name.
I want to make this challenge happen. If you can help out, make a donation or volunteer. Butternut Valley is gorgeous. It's actually a very pretty part of the state. Even in winter, bundle up. They need people to go do some door knocking. MelissaWagner.org. It's MelissaWagner.org. is the website. We'll link to it on all the social media. We want people to get in touch with you, and we want, obviously, 23B to go to the Democrats. Melissa, all my best. An absolute pleasure having you on. And if you have time in that 2-week stretch after the primaries, before the special election, let's have you back on again and talk about the race some more, okay?
I would love to do that. I will plan on it.
Thank you very much. Melissa Wagner, once again, the Democrat running for 23B. Democrat of the day. Why not? Take a break right now. We'll take a break right now. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.